ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं ते ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेनाग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति देव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. So in this masterful summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan Shri Krishna is answering Arjuna's question about Tyaga and Sannyas. He says Tyaga is the intermediate step and Sannyas is the goal. So working without attachment, without worrying about what will I get, ultimately leads to giving up of the individuality, this ego, this little I that I am doing it. That is the goal of life, where on the path of bhakti, Bhagwan is working through me. And the path of knowledge, I am that actionless self. And in my presence, this BMI is continuing to work. I illumine this body, this mind, this intellect, and I illumine the whole universe because there is only one consciousness that is manifesting through all of us, all animals, birds, plants, fish. And so Bhagwan tells Arjuna that yajna, dana, and tapa cannot be given up. We should do some amount of worship, some charity, and live a life of moderation, self-control. That is not only the opinion of the great masters, but my own opinion also, Bhagwan says that. And then he tells Arjuna that there are three kinds of tyaga. Tamasic is giving up out work out of ignorance. Rajasic is giving up work because it is too difficult. But Sattvic Tyaga is giving up the attachment and the doership, and the ego, and silently doing all activities without getting affected by the results. That's what he says. Trividham, there are three kinds of ishtam, anishtam, mishram, that actions may produce results that we want or that we don't want, or maybe in between. But a wise person says prakriti is working. The PMI is working. I am the actionless self. And that is where we had stopped last week. Today, Bhagwan will continue the topic of karma. Because throughout the Bhagavad Gita, in third chapter, fourth chapter, all different places, he has talked about these actions, doing, 12th and so on, 9th. And then, of course, all the sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic in 14 and 17 and so on. But what exactly constitutes a karma? What is very beautifully, he has dissected what a karma is, what an action is, and then how we should do it, further expands on that. So we'll do shloka number 13, chapter 18, shloka number 13. Panchaitani Mahabaho.
Panchaitani Mahabaho.
Karanani Nibodhame. Sankhye Kritante Proktani.
Sankhye Kritante Proktani.
Siddhaye Sarva Karmanam.
Siddhaye Sarva Karmanam.
Panchaitani Mahabaho. Karanani Nibodhame. Sankhye Kritante Proktani. Siddhaye Sarva Karmana. So what Bhagwan is doing is Pancha Etani. He says a karma consists of five factors. What are the factors? He will tell us in the next shloka. But why is it important to know the five factors? And where does this knowledge originate from? Bhagwan tells in this shloka. So pancha etani, there are five of these factors. O Mahabaho, O great warrior Arjuna, who has fought a lot of battles, but now your battle is with your mind. How do I? Because that's, he was totally destroyed in the first chapter. So Bhagwan is concluding his teaching by saying that you are a great warrior and you are faced with the biggest challenge of your life. And all of us are constantly faced with physical challenges, health, mental, work. So all of these, so Mahabaho, we are, all of us are Arjuna. That is what it says. And ultimately it should come to, I am Krishna. Not that I am God or the creator of the universe, but I am the consciousness. My true nature is that supreme consciousness that is a witness of this whole universe. So he says, Pancha Etani Mahabaho Karanani Nibodhame. Karanani means the causes. What are the causes of this whole karma, or what are the aspects, five aspects of karma? Nibodhame. Nibodhame means understand. Nishchayena bodhame. Clearly understand from me, Bhagwan is saying, because in the fourth chapter, he has already said, Gahana Karmano Gati. So he's summarizing what he has said in the third and fourth chapter in today's discourses, today's shlokas. So he says, clearly understand what constitutes a karma. And where does this come from, this knowledge? Bhagwan says, it's not only my knowledge, but Sankhye Kritante Proktani. Sankhye Proktani, this has been said in the Sankhya philosophy. So Bhagwan's teachings, he quotes liberally from the Sankhya philosophy of that time. which we know was talked about as Purush and Prakriti and all the fellow, which was covered exhaustively in the second chapter by Bhagwan. So he's summarizing that. Sankhya, Kritante. Kritante means where all actions end. And we'll talk about what is the meaning of all actions. Sankhya Proktani, they have been said in the Sankhya philosophy. And why should we know that? Siddhaye Sarva Karmanam. All activities are accomplished with the right knowledge. So he's telling us that by this knowledge, all your actions will be successful and you will go beyond actions. So not that you will stop doing actions, but you will go beyond actions. So five factors, which he will mention in detail in the next shloka. So I won't list them, but he says there are five factors. Let us take it as that. And these five factors, or I can basically list them as body, the ego, the equipment, sense organs, organs of action, the pranas, and the devam, the God, the divine presence. So this is in brief, the five factors. We'll go into more detail in the next shloka. So he says that when we work in the world, we work with the ego, I, the ego, the doer. I am this body and I am accomplishing it. And constantly we are focused on this ego that I am the doer. Who else is the doer? I am. I do everything. You know, all this I have done. And what that does is fattens the ego and separates us away from the truth. Because our true nature is that consciousness. But this aham, this ego, when it gets stronger and stronger, that I am doing it, without me, nothing will happen. You know, I in this company, in this factory, in this business, in this house, I. So that I is very important. So, but for success in the activities, all five have to be involved. The body, the ego, the instruments, God, and the pranas, the energy. All five together have to work in harmony. Otherwise, if one aspect becomes stronger than the other, like the ego becomes too strong, or my focus is so much on the equipment, the mind, the intellect, then when that focus becomes too strong on that, then my action becomes unsuccessful. So for true success in this world, all five have to work together. And they say we have constantly have a choice. Constantly, every day of the week, every minute of the hour, we have a choice whether to focus on ego or to focus on the divine presence, God. If I focus on I am doing, then I get affected by the result. But if I say God is working through me, then success belongs to him. I have nothing to do with it. I just do whatever is required without I and my. And they say wisdom, what is the true purpose of karma? True purpose of karma. You say, oh, what is the purpose of action? Oh, to earn a living, take care of my body, take care of my family, or for personal fulfillment, you know, for great success. I should become, you know, vice president of my company, or I should have a lot of people working under me. Or the purpose of life is to contribute to society. I may make a new business and, you know, do a lot. Say none of those. None of those is the purpose of life. Purpose of life is wisdom. That I must, through my karma, I must get the right knowledge, and with that, do right actions unselfishly, dedicated to the Lord, and ultimately go on the spiritual path. And every action of mine should be geared that, is this going to help me on my spiritual journey or not? If this action is going to take away me away from God, I should do it. If it is going to take me closer to the truth, that I should do. And through our karmas, we have to undo the results of our negative karmas. Because the reason we took birth is because even in the Mukunda Mala on Tuesday, we talked that the reason I took birth is because in the past life, I did not remember God. I did not do the right actions. Or in this life also, I may have done so many actions that are not meritorious. But through this constant doing right actions with the right attitude, without this doership, it weakens the hold of past karmas on us. And I am able to go beyond karmas. And somebody asks, you know, my mind is so disturbed. How can I get stillness of the mind? How can I get my mind to be quiet? My mind always is disturbed, agitated. They said, do work unselfishly, without I, me, and my, dedicated to God, and without doership. And how can I give to others? So what that does is, when I have this attitude of serving, giving, helping, then slowly it reduces my raga dvesh, my likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred, anger, and my mind becomes quieter. So the only way to quieten the mind, if I do active selfishly, then my mind is always caught on what will I get, why didn't I get it, but I just did it because it is God's work. So slowly the mind becomes more quiet, and a quiet mind is needed for meditation, for spiritual studies, and for spiritual growth. And then it says, Sankhya Kritante Proktani. As we said, Siddhaya Sarva Karmana, we talked about how actions can be made more successful. We'll talk more in the next shlokas. But what does he mean by the end of all actions? Sankhya Kritante Proktani. They said all actions end. So does that mean that then I will not do anything, you know? No, it's not that I will not do anything. But I, the doer, will be gone. The individuality will die. Not that I will die and what will happen to me. No, I will continue to work, but without this idea of doership, without this idea of ego. And whatever actions come to me, I'll do it, whatever is required, without worrying about what will I get out of it. If this action is come, wherever I have been placed in life, whatever position, I'm a husband, wife, child, mother, whatever my physical, mental situations are, but I am a seeker of truth, and that is my true nature. And then it says that there is nothing more to be done for this individual. That's why, you know, they say sarva karma akhilam partha jnane pari samapyate. In knowledge, all karmas end. And this says jnana karmasya triptasya naiva nanasti kinchin yadi chet na tatvavid. That's what Upanishad says, that once you have attained that final goal, then what more has to be accomplished? If I have become one with that truth, if I have become a realized master, and if I have, then there is nothing more for me to accomplish. It's like I go to somebody's house for lunch or dinner, or I go into my own kitchen. I'm very hungry. So I sit down and eat. I eat 2, 3, 4, 5 chapatis, and now I am completely full. After that, somebody says, would you like dessert? No, I don't even have space for dessert. I am so full. No matter the best food you bring, nothing will tempt me. Same way, one who has reached that state of enlightenment, then nothing of this world gives him joy. If he still feels that I need to do this, I must do this, without this, then nasatra, he's not tatvavid. He's not a knower of truth. Does not mean a knower of truth does not work in the world, but he does not work out of incompleteness. When you and I work, we feel, oh, right now I am not that good enough, but maybe by doing that work, or maybe by accomplishing that position, or maybe if I get a better office, maybe if I have a better position in the company, maybe if I have more So we think that by actions we will become complete. But this individual is complete because he is one with God. And then he still, in fact, his actions are more efficient than you and me because he does not have any ego. So the action just spontaneously flow. And the individual may choose to work. He may choose not to work. Like some masters just stay in the forest and keep on meditating and just bless the world with their presence. Tapovan Maharaj, our Puja Gurudev's guru, he stayed in the Himalayas in Uttarkashi. He never came down. He just stayed there. He said, whoever wants to learn will come up. He had no interest in travel and he had very limited teacher students, 3-4 students. Even there, he was so hard and strict on them. He said, I will tell you one time, if you don't remember, you can get out. And he did that. He had no fear. But all he needed was one Swami Chinmayananda to spread his message throughout the world. He didn't do anything himself. He said, I am content here. But Puja Gurudev, even though he was a student of Tapovan Maharaj, constantly from 1950 to 43 years, he didn't stop. Constantly he was moving from city to city, country to country. Every day this course is writing letters, writing books, answering devotees' questions. Constantly he used to maybe sleep 2-3 hours at night and maybe take a short half an hour, 15 minute nap in the afternoon. Rest of the day, 20 hours, he was just working. So each Mahatma is different. It does not mean one is better than the other. Each one, depending on their prarabdha, depending on their body and mind, they may work or they may not work, but they do not work out of incompleteness. The work flows out of them because they are not the doer. That is called kritante proktani. That all activities end in that understanding. That I am that truth. Yeah. So that is this shloka, Dhyana Triptasya, one who is content in actions. There is no doership. There is no inner feeling that, I am not doing. No. Complete contentment is there in his true self. Now we'll go to shloka number 14. So now Bhagwan is listing those 5 factors. Adishthanam tatha karta. Karanam cha prithag vidham. Vividhascha prithag cheshtaha. Daivam chaivatra panchamam. Altogether, adishthanam tatha karta karanam cha prithak vidham vividhascha prithak cheshtaha daivam chaivatra panchamam. So he says there are 5 factors which he had mentioned. Adishtha means the body, the location, where am I working? So I have to be in this body. Body is required. So body becomes the adhishthana, means the station where I sit and work. So I, this individual jiva, this mind and intellect vasana package that I am using this body to function. So body is the first factor. Tatha means on, and karta means the ego. That means I am doing it. I has to be there, even though we'll see later on, the ego can become an obstacle. But ego is required that I am doing it. That's why we get a name, okay, Anil, and then I'm a male, and I'm a... But for functional purposes, I am this individual. But in reality, I am that consciousness. That's so karta. Then karanam. Karanam means the instruments of action. So different scholars interpret it differently. Even Pujya Gurudev in his commentary, Shankaracharya ji, there's a slight difference, but anyway, so we'll use the Shankaracharya ji's commentary where he says, Karanam means all the equipments of action, the sense organs and the organs of action. So five sense organs, five organs of action. That means eye, ears, nose, skin and tongue, and organs of hands, feet, speech, genital organs, excretory organs, five action, organs of action, and four antakarana, mana, buddhi, chit, ahankar. So these 14 are my instruments through which this ego functions in the world. Okay, that's 14. Then prithag vidam. So all these 14 are divided. As we said, these 14 separate. Five sense organs, five organs of action, and the inner equipment. So outer equipment is this hand, feet, legs, so on, and eyes, ears, nose. Inner equipment is the mind, intellect, and so on. Then it says, vividhascha prithak cheshta. Different kinds of cheshta means the energizing factors. So what are the energizing factors? The five pranas, prana, apana, samana, vyana, udana. Prana means intake. Apana means excretion, you know, not only excretion through everywhere, through the breath, in and out of the breath, excretion of sweat, of all the excretions that happen, that is apana. Then vyana means the circulatory system. Samana is the digestive system. So whatever I intake, it gets digested, and then vyana circulates this throughout the body. And every cell of my body is nourished because of the blood and the lymphatics and all the nerves, you know, which all of that is the vyana. And then udana is the final prana that at the time of death takes this subtle body out. Also, udana becomes active in forceful excretion, like sneezing, vomiting. Also, they say udana is necessary for higher understanding, for the mind to go into the higher. So all the five pranas are the energizing factor. The example they give is like a car. Now, in a car, what is the equipment? It is the body, right? The body is the body of the car outside. And then inner equipment is the engine, right? The engine is the one that drives the car. And the petrol is the energy, is like the prana. If there was no petrol, the car would not move. And the driver is the ego. Ego, and then of course, God is required for the driver to function. So that's how this five factors come into play. And then the fifth one is daivam. Daivam cha atra panchamam. The fifth one is the daivam. Daivam means God's presence, the divine, what they call the presiding deity. One is, of course, the supreme consciousness, God. But here, daivam represents the presiding deity. Like, so over my years, there are five, you know, air, space, fire, water, earth. These Pancha Mahabhutas are the presiding deities that preside over five functions in my body. So for my ears, the presiding deity is space, because space is required for sound to be transmitted. So for sound, it is space. Air is for touch. That's why when the air blows, we can feel the touch, you know. Then for sight is fire, because light, fire represents light. If the lights were not here, I wouldn't be able to see anything. If there was no sunlight or there was no light at night, we would not see. So fire becomes the third one, the deity presiding over the eyes. Then, so air, space, fire. Water is for taste, because if you eat something dry, you don't taste it. Only when your saliva comes and or if it is wet, then you can taste. Otherwise, if you just put some dry powder in your mouth, you won't get any taste until water is there. So that's why they add water in the cooking to get the taste. And then the fifth one is smell, and that is the earth. So air, space, fire, water, earth are nourishing the ears, the touch, the eyes, the nose, and the taste. So the five sense organs are nourished by five deities, the five Pancha Mahabhutas, and above that, of course, is the Supreme Consciousness. So that is the Daivam. That is Daivam. Some people also say Daivam means destiny or results, but the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan is very clear. You are the maker of your own destiny. There is nobody sitting somewhere up and, you know, throwing packets of good and bad luck. Everything is my own action. I make my own destiny. And even if some destiny comes from the past life, I have done that. Nobody else has given me that. And I can modify by my actions in the present life. So that is the five factors which are responsible for all actions. All actions. Now, 15th shloka talks about what these actions do, how we perform these actions, and what is the benefit of these actions. So we'll do shloka number 15. Sharir vang mano bhiryat. Karma prarabhate narah. Nyayam va viparitam va. Panchaite tasya hetavah. Sharir vang mano bhiryat. Karma prarabhate narah. Nyayam va viparitam va. Panchaite tasya hetavah. So sharir. Sharir means body. Vak means speech. Mana means mind. So all activities only can be performed as at three levels. One is at the physical level. I can do something with my hand, with my leg. I can go here, go there, do pick up this, pick up that. Then with speech, I can, you know, speak and express my opinion and tell people do this, do that. Or third is I can act with my mind. Even thinking is an activity. I can have good thoughts, I can have bad thoughts. Just as I can have good actions, bad actions, good speech, bad, wrong speech. Same way I can have good and bad thoughts. And that also affects not only my mind, but becomes karma. A good act, good thoughts result in good karma. Evil thoughts, you say nobody else knows what I'm thinking, but I know myself. So thinking is also an action. So all three, yat karma prarabhate naraha. So an nara, an individual, karma prarabhate, performs actions through these three, body, speech, and mind. Mind means intellect, all those, memory, all of those. Nyayam va viparitam va. Nyayam means they are good activities, you know, for the benefit of. Or viparitam, or not so good activities. Activities that are good or not good. Wow. Or, so either good activities or not so good activities. Pancha ete tasya hetavah. Of my action, these five factors are required to perform any action. Any action, I need these five factors. I need the body that we, you know, is very clear equipment. I need, like, I go to the kitchen for cooking and I don't have the proper utensils. I don't have the bowl. I don't have this, you know, ladle. I cannot cook. So the equipment is required. I go to the office. I turn on my computer and my computer is not working. The Wi-Fi is not working. The electricity is not there. Electricity will come later on. But I don't have my computer, then I'm lost. I went in or I forgot my computer at home, my laptop, and now I go to the, I'm lost. I don't have my computer. So any activity you do, you need the equipment. And then you need energy. So I have my stove, I have my pots, pans, but no gas, you know, gas or electricity is not there. My stove doesn't work. Or in the office, the power is gone. I have solar, but I don't have a battery backup. Power is gone, then my computer won't work. So that is also required. Energy is required. And the five pranas provide the energy for these to function. And it says, nyayam va viparitam va. They can be good activities or bad activities. And that's what they say. The means is more important than the end. People say, as long as in the end I get result, good. How does it matter if I, you know, cheat a little here? No. The means is as important as the end. You cannot use wrong means. And then even if you get a good result, that result will be polluted by wrong actions. So the means are as important as the goal. So I have to use the right method and then go to the right goal. And as long as my self-will is there, I, me, and my actions will be for myself, will not be for the benefit of society. And that is very important. So the karma will give me the result based on my action and based on my motive. What was my thinking? What was my intention? Somebody asked this very nice question. This little boy asked his grandmother. He says, Grandma, you say that good karmas give good result. She says, yes. And then you told me bad karmas will give bad result. Yes, I told you that, my son. He says, but you just told me the story of Mahabharata, right? She says, yeah, I told you the story. And she says, in that, the Pandavas were always very good, you know. But the Kauravas were the one having all the fun. They were living in a nice palace, driving in chariots, you know, had beautiful dancing girls, all the money, all the wealth, everything. And the poor Pandavas were roaming through the forest for 13 years, even though they had Sri Krishna with them, they were so nice. And they suffered all this, you know, at the end, Kauravas got killed. Okay, I understand. But throughout life, Kauravas had a better life and Pandavas, poor guys, were suffering. Oh, what you said, good action, give good result and bad action. But Kauravas got all the pleasure. Pandavas got all the suffering. So she says, my child, there is, one is a material result. When you have done an action, you get a material result. Yes. Kauravas got the material result. But more important is the spiritual result. And who got the spiritual result? That is more important. Who is the one that became closer to God? And ultimately, who is the one we remember? Do we remember Sri Ram or we remember Ravana? Do we remember Pandavas or Kauravas? Do we want to be like who? So ultimately, that is what is important. Who is the one? Do we remember Nelson Mandela or the white people who persecuted and practiced apartheid? No, we remember the good people, you know. And so ultimately that alone triumphs. So that progress is more important than material progress. How I grow spiritually, how I come closer to God. And so true growth is that. True growth is, we think, oh, physical growth, that's good. Nothing wrong with, okay, being successful, having a lot of money and all. But that should not become my principal goal. My principal goal should be how in this life I can get closer to Bhagwan. But nyayam va viparitam va, but we forget. You know, I want to do something good, but I forget. I decide from tomorrow I'm going to get up and pray, I'm going to study, and time comes, I forget. I don't remember. So talking about not remember, this senior citizen tells his friend, he says, yesterday we went to a very nice class. He said, what was the class about? He said, it teaches us how to remember things better, how to improve my memory. That was the class. So this man asks, so can you tell me what they told you in the class? I would also like to learn. So this man says, yeah, you know that flower, that red flower with the thorns? He says, yeah, rose. He said, yeah, Oh, Rose, what did they teach us in the class yesterday? So one has to remember what you have studied, what you have learned, and that's what the Mahatmas tell us constantly, that in your life you have a constant choice, nyayam va viparitam va. Should I do what is good or should I do what is harmful? And not, what should not only benefit me, but benefit society, benefit everyone. That is what, if I do something that is beneficial to me, but I am exploiting others, cheating others, hurting others, then yeah, I have benefited, but society has not. So Shreyas is what benefits all. Prayas is what benefits me. That's why even in Kathopanishad, the teacher tells Shreyas and Prayas, you can choose. Choose the good over the pleasant, which is pleasureful. So that is shloka number 15. Then we'll do the last shloka, which is very important, which has fairly advanced knowledge, which again it talks, this is more related to the second chapter. In the beginning, which he talks about the Atma, the consciousness. Tatraiva sati kartaram. Atmanam kevalam tuyaha. Pashyat krita buddhitvat. Nasa pashyati durmatihi. Tatraivam sati kartaram. Atmanam kevalam tuyaha. Pashyat yakrita buddhitva. Nasa pashyati durmatihi. So tatra eva sati. This being the case, Gurudev in his word by word translation says, when these three put are together, tatra evam sati, that's how it is, that being the case, kartaram atmanam kevalam tu yaha. Atmanam, this atma, this consciousness is only one. But thinking that the atma is the doer, but yaha, an individual who thinks that this atma, this one consciousness is doing everything, one who thinks like that, pashyati, akrit buddhitvat, means the one whose understanding, intellect is not clear, one who has unclear understanding, untrained, unclear understanding, and such a person na pashyati, does not see the truth. Pashyati means not only that, seeing pashyati means does not understand. He does not see the truth. Why? Durmati, because he has wrong understanding. So the shloka is that one who thinks that this atma consciousness is the doer, he has wrong understanding and he does not see things correctly. So what do you mean? I am the doer. I do everything, right? I get up in the morning, take a shower, have breakfast, go to work, come here. All that, I drive my car. I do everything. I cook, I wash, I clean. But the scriptures tell us that Prakriti is the doer. Prakriti means nature, means this body, mind, intellect, equipment is the doer. Propelled by the vasanas, if you can see in this BMI chart, the BMI is the doer, perceiver, feeler, and thinker. Vasanas are propelling me, good or bad desires. The Om, the consciousness within, is not doing anything. Atmanam kevalam tuya. It is one and one alone and is not the doer. One who thinks the Atma is doing, Bhagwan is doing, then he does not understand. Bhagwan means the Ishwara creates. Yes, the Ishwara, Brahmaji creates, Vishnu, Bhagwan maintains, Lord Shiva recycles. But the consciousness, Brahman, which is the substratum on which this whole universe is functioning, is non-doer, just as the screen does not do anything, but on the screen, the movie is running. But the screen is motionless, unaffected, and the screen is required for the movie. Otherwise, there would be no place to project the movie. And as we have seen, the screen does not get wet when there's flood. The screen does not get burnt when there's fire. So same way, this consciousness is unaffected. And it is Prakriti that is doing. And I heard a very beautiful story about this doership. So there was this ashram, and there was this Mahatma who had some students, and a new student comes and he joins and he starts studying under that Mahatma. And one day the student sees that part of the ashram was close to the forest, and there a lot of weeds were growing, And there were a few flowers somebody had planted, but they were being overtaken by the weeds. So he asks the Mahatma, Guruji, is it okay if I take charge of that plot of land? You know, he likes gardening. I like gardening. I'll do that. The Guru says, of course, go ahead and do it. So he starts working for 2 months. He puts hard work, whatever extra time he has from his study. He removes all the weeds, you know, plucks them out, puts a lot of effort, puts fertilizer, digs the ground, puts new flowers and, you know, all that. And in 2 months, it looks like a beautiful garden, you know, where they were all weeds. So he's a little proud about his action. I've done a great job. I worked so hard. And, you know, so he wants recognition. So he calls Guru, Guruji, come and see how nice the garden looks. So Guru goes, looks at it, and he can see his face that, you know, he's getting egocentric. So he says, yes, garden looks very nice. God has done a great job. So he says, God, where did God come from? I'm the one who, he says, no, but God provided the sun, you know, for the flowers to grow. God provided the rain, the water, the nutrition in the earth. He says, yeah, but your God was there even before. The sun was there, the rain was there, earth was there, nothing was growing. I am the one who came and removed the weeds. God was already there. He wasn't doing anything. Teacher said, okay, I'll give you this. God did 98%, you did 2%. Oh, both I only two, and God did 98. So he wanted to teach him. And as he stayed in the ashram, he realized God does 100%. I do nothing. Even the ability to work comes from God. I actually told this story to my 6-year-old granddaughter, and she right away said, yeah, but who gave him the energy to work? I said, you know, at that age also, I try whenever I talk to my grandkids, I try to find these stories and tell them. And then I ask them, what is the moral? So she said, yeah, but where did he get the strength to work? How did he get the intent? From God. So, you know, the point is that everything we are doing, God is working through us. To start thinking that I am the doer is akrita buddhivad, is wrong understanding. Because the self enlivens everything. See, there is a difference between God and Brahman. God is the doer, the creator, sustainer, because this whole world is there, but the consciousness, which is the substratum, itself does not do anything, but in the presence of consciousness, this whole world is working. So this BMI of mind is working because consciousness is there. Once consciousness stops reflecting in this mind and intellect, then I'll be lying there and somebody will have to carry me to the cemetery. So the self is the non-doer, but in the presence of the self, everything is happening. And one who understands has the right understanding. One who does not understand is called akrit buddhitva. Means even though he has been given an intellect by Bhagwan, he doesn't think. Even though Guru has told us, even Puja Gurudev in the Bhagavad Gita has told us this. But if we forget that is called akrit buddhitva. And then Bhagwan uses another word called Durmati. So Mati means thinking, mind thinking. But there is Sumati, Amati, Durmati, and Dushkrit Mati. So our rishis have given four beautifully. They categorize everything. Sumati means right understanding. And that we will cover more in more detail in the next shloka, next week. So that is Sumati. Amati means I didn't know, ignorance. Somebody has not heard, has not gone to a teacher, has not read Bhagavad Gita. That is Amati. So Sumati, Amati. Then Durmati, what Bhagwan here is mentioning is one who has heard, but his understanding is wrong. Wrong understanding. He ulta samajhta hai. He thinks opposite of what it is. That is the third one. Durmati means he has not understood correctly. He thinks wrongly. Fourth one, the dushkritamati, is the worst one, where he knows what is right, but still deliberately does wrong. One is who knows correct, one who didn't know, one who knows ulta. Fourth one is who knows exactly what he's supposed to do, but does the opposite. So that is called Durmati. And then the worst is Dushkritamati, means the one who has corrupted understanding and corrupted actions. So why is Atma called Kevalam? Kevalam means one alone. We say, oh, there are so many people and so much variety there. How can you say this whole world is just one consciousness expressing? Just as there's a variety of pots and cups and saucers and plates and different colors, Chinese, everything is one mud. One mud expressing as all. There's one gold which expresses in all this variety of ornaments. You know, you go to a jeweler shop, you'll find 1,000 different, you know, necklaces and earrings and bangles. But what is the essence? One gold. Similarly, this one Atman has no variety. All the varieties are apparent, just as all these different necklace, bangle, gold are apparent varieties. You know, cups, plates, saucer are apparent varieties in this mud. So that one consciousness actually has no varieties, one alone, appearing as many. And that's why they say Kevalam in Kevalya Upanishad, the final conclusion of the teacher and the student is that one alone is there. There is no multitude. That's why Vedanta is called Advaitam, where there is only one. All this variety is an illusion. There is actually no variety, one alone. And this Kevalam technically is defined as one that has no Vijatiya, Sajatiya, Swagata Bheda. We have covered that before, but just for those who are new, Vijatiya Bheda means there is a difference between a dog and a cat and a cow and a buffalo and an elephant, you know, different species. They are different. Cat is not like dog. Dog is not like elephant. Then within that same species, there are differences, like in the dogs, you know, you have Alsatian, you have pit bull, and then you have this little, you know, Chihuahua and Doberman. All these varieties of dogs, you know, different golden retriever and all. So one is Vijatiya, one is Sajatiya. Within dog, there are varieties. And the third is that in an individual, there are varieties. Like my nose is different from my ears, from my eyes, from my mouth, each one. But in Atma, there is none of these three Vedas. There is no Vijati. It's not that there are many different species of Atma. No. Then they say within Atma, there are different varieties. No. And by Atma itself, does one part of Atma different from other? No. It is one homogeneous mass of consciousness. That is what the description of Brahman is. That it is one consciousness, unbroken, unmodified, unchanging, and that alone is the reality. And this logic, this nyaya, has been explained very well in our scriptures, starting from the Upanishads, and then from the Upanishads, Bhagavan has taken it into the Bhagavad Gita and summarized it, made it easy for us to understand. Upanishads, you have to have a lot of you know, prerequisites, studied a lot. But Bhagavad Gita, anybody can. If you know, that's what, so that's what they say. Arjuna, so the teaching should be that Bhagavan is talking to me, not talking to Arjuna, but he's talking to me. I am the student. I am listening. And then based on my actions, I will get the results. Every result that we have talked before also, even in third chapter, Bhagavan says here also, he's saying that nyayam va viparitam va, depending on good and bad actions, I will get good and bad result in this life. And it will be carried in my subtle body to future lives. And that will be the results. And then Puja Gurudev in his commentary, very beautifully, he says in the bottom, in the footnote of this shloka, he says, gives the true meaning of Ras Leela. You know, Ras Leela, people do at Navratri and at all times. But in that, people have this misunderstanding that Bhagwan Shri Krishna danced with the gopis. Gurudev says Bhagwan didn't dance. Bhagwan was in the middle and he just played his flute. It was moonlit night, full moon, and it was beautiful time. And the gopis danced around him because they danced according to the tune of the flute. Bhagwan's flute was so captivating that it made them all dance. And all the activities happened. If Bhagwan was not there, if the flute was not played, there would be no Ras Leela. So that's why they say Ras Leela is the union between Atma and Paramatma. So in the understanding, when you say Atma as Jeevatma, then there are many Jeevatmas and there is one Paramatma, one consciousness that is enlivening. So Gurudev says, you can identify with the gopis. I'm dancing, 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 and then I get exhausted, and then I get tired, and then in the middle, Bhagwan disappeared, and then go, because they became egocentric. And, oh, Bhagwan is, you know, dance, Bhagwan, I am dancing, and I, no, Bhagwan disappeared because they got this ego. So the gopis went through joys and sorrows. When they were music was playing, they were happy. When Bhagwan stopped playing, his music disappeared, they became sad. But if you identify with Krishna, with Bhagwan Shri Krishna, as that I am the consciousness, then you don't go through any. That's why Bhagwan was happy throughout his life. If you look, there was always a smile, no matter how many problems he had. No matter how many demons he had to fight, no matter he was separated from his parents, taken to some other parents, and then from there he had to go to Mathura to fight Kans and Shishupala and all those things happening. But he always was in his true glory. So if I identify myself with the BMI, the body, mind, and intellect, then I will suffer all the consequences, the good and bad, nyayam va viparitam va. But if I say I am that consciousness all the time, and in my presence, this BMI is working, then those same actions will not affect me, because then I will say, yes, whatever prakriti, you know, guna guneshu vartante iti matvana sajyate, Bhagwan says in the fifth chapter, that gunas are working with gunas. My prakriti is working, but I am that actionless self. So that's what we practice in meditation. That's also what we did this week, and next week we'll also work on that, because it's Mahashivratri. So we'll try to connect with Lord Shiva, that I am that actionless Lord Shiva in whose presence his whole universe is working. That is the essence of. So in meditation, we practice that I am that actionless self. That is my true nature. And this BMI is working because I am present. Also in not only in meditation, but throughout the day, one should have that attitude that I am the witness and I am watching this body, mind, and intellect. Not that you do not do your activities, do with full attention, but part of your thinking should be on that self. And then when you have nothing else to do, you're just, you know, mechanically like walking on the treadmill, then you can just hold on to the treadmill, close your eyes and turn your attention to the self. And watch, you know, hands are moving, legs are moving, body is moving, equipment is moving. So when there is, or when even when you're doing dishes or something which doesn't require much thinking, you can turn your attention to the self and keep on doing the action. So keeping our attention always on the witness, and be a witness of this body, be a witness of this mind, that is the way to be in meditation 24 hours a day. That's what somebody had asked Puja Gurudev. How long should I meditate? He said 24 hours. That means all the time your attention should be on the self. So today we talked about the five aspects of action: the body, the ego, the instruments, the energy, and the deity, presiding deity, and how good and bad activities get those results. And there is an actionless self who is necessary for actions to be done but does not get involved. So that is what we have studied today. So we'll continue that next week. We'll talk about what is sumati, what is good actions. And that we'll do next week. And how not to get involved, affected by actions. So we have about 7 or 8 minutes, 9 minutes. Anybody has any questions, comments? Gallery view so we can see everybody. Yeah, Carrie, go ahead.
I think maybe you kind of already said this, but maybe you could just say it again so I understand it. You know, you were talking about that I make my own destiny, but then I always hear that phrase that you attain something through the grace of God. I just wonder if you could maybe explain, you know, is it kind of like, you know, Krishna and his flute and
right.
Anyway.
Right. So I think when at the level of the BMI, at the level of the jiva, you know, the jiva, the individuality, when you believe that this world is real, and at our level, when we are not that evolved as Shankaracharya ji or Pujya Gurudev or Tapovan Maharaj, we are not that evolved. As long as we give reality to this world, whatever actions we do, we will get the results. And the reason I have this particular body and where I am, you know, which country I am, my male, my sex, the kind of body I have, the health, all that is determined by past karmas. And these actions will result in future karmas, and the results will continue until I attain enlightenment, until I become one. When I do, then that's what he says. Then there is no kritante. Then there is no karmas left. For that wise person, there is no karmas left. What they are saying is grace of God is that one should not develop ego. Because without God's grace, I wouldn't be able to do anything. I wouldn't even have this life. The fact that I have life, the fact I have ability, I have intellect, I have all the ability to think, is because of God's grace, because God is the creator of this universe. And ultimately, for enlightenment, one has to attain God's grace, because a human being can only go so far. Ultimately, God's grace is the one. That's why they said 98% was God and 2% was that boy. So that understanding we should have, that I by myself am not able to do anything. It is only God that is working through me. That is the path of bhakti, that God's grace is, and God's grace is always there. All we have to do is look around. The fact that we are able to get together and study this text, how much grace of Bhagwan and Pujya Gurudev is on us, that we are blessed with this knowledge that all the Mahatmas have given us, all the gurus and teachers. So God's grace is always there. We don't see it. That is our problem. We don't see God's grace because we think I am the doer, like that boy who thought that I am the one who made the garden and not God. So the teacher wanted him to get that message that ultimately 100% is God and you are nothing. So that understanding one should have. So that's where God's grace comes. God's grace is always there. It's like the sunlight is always shining, but if I close my windows, and then I say, it's so dark in the room, so dark in the room. All I have to do is open the window and the sunlight will come in. So open my mind and God's grace is always there. So that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Induji, you have question or comment?
कहते हैं कि गीता कर्म प्रधान है और फिर जब कोई बात होती है तो कोई कहता है कि हमें ये भाग्य से मिला, तो कर्म और भाग्य में अंतर क्या है? क्योंकि जब हमने कुछ किया होगा तभी हमको वो भाग्य से मिला होगा, तो क्या अंतर है इस भाग्य और कर्म में?
हाँ, तो भाग्य और कर्म में, सो भाग्य, she is asking difference between destiny and karma. So destiny is what we call as sanchit karma. What actions I have done in my past life, all those accumulate, and that is called bhagya, called destiny, called sanchit karma, all of that. Now, each of those karmas manifest at different times. It's like you plant a rose bush, you know, in few months you will get flower. You put a mango tree, you will get fruit after 10 years. So same way, different karmas manifest at different times. And that becomes my destiny for this life, called prarabdha karma. So my sanchit karma, then I have prarabdha karma. That is my destiny, which is manifesting in this life, called prarabdha. And then in this life, whatever actions I do will result in future karmas, called agami karmas. So sanchit karma, then prarabdha of this life, and agami of future life. So destiny is what, or bhagya is what I have done in my past life, which has now manifested in this life. And in this life, whatever karmas I do will produce good or bad result depending on my karmas. So bhagya is in the past, karma is in the present, and whatever comes in the future, that is called agami. Future mein jo aayega, that will come in the future. So that is how I become the architect, because I am the maker of my own destiny, because whatever I had done in previous life, I may not know it, but those are resulting in where I am today or what I have done in this life in the past. So that's why all three are there. So there is past karma, present, and future. So that is how they are connected. But ultimately, they're all karma pradhan. All are karmas only. Karmas only, which were in the past, is manifesting now. And then even in this life, how I take it, even though sorrows are coming, but do I take it with complaint or do I say, that's fine, that's just, if I'm calmly taking whatever is happening, then even the past karmas will not affect me. If I have faith in Bhagwan, if God is there and he is the, whatever is there is for me, for my benefit, then even the present karmas will not affect us. So that's how the karma and bhagya, that is the connection. I hope that answers your question.
Iska matlab ki karma hi main hai.
Haan ji, karma hi main hai. Bhagya bhi hum hi banate hain aur hamara bhavishya bhi hum banate hain.
Hum banate
hain. Hamara bhutkal bhi hamara hai, present bhi hamara hai aur bhavishya bhi hamara hai. Sab kuch.
Ji.
Dhanyawad. Good question. Thank you, ji. Anything else, Satish bhai?
So Urmati is it same as misapprehension?
Yeah, wrong understanding, misapprehension. Yes. And Dushkritmati is the corrupted understanding. Yeah.
So that I know, but I'm still doing it.
That is
Dushkritmati. I'm aware of the
right one.
The right one.
But I'm still doing
the wrong one.
Durmati is one who understands opposite.
Correct.
Who doesn't understand correctly, even though Guru has told
him. Takes the wrong one as the right one.
Takes the wrong one as right one. Yeah.
But you know, in the last question, the karma is the means, and then the destiny is the end.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yes.
But like you said,
Jai Shri.
Oh. So, like you indicated last time, that one, the results, when they come, and we take it, you know, either with the sorrow or with the elation, is, like you said, it was like, one is to wake us up, the other one is to keep us awake.
Right. Yeah, that is a very powerful statement. Then nothing, you don't complain about anything. Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Yeah, Carrie, you are muted. Oh. You only have a minute, so.
I know. I was just, you know, if you could say a little bit about the term prarabdha karma.
Prarabdha means what is manifesting in this lifetime. What
okay.
In
so it's from the past karma, but the phalam is...
Sanchit is the past. Prarabdha is what manifests today in my present life. And agami is what I do, which gets added on in my future. So that
okay.
is... Sanchit Thank is you. Past, prarabdha is now, and agami is in the future. We'll end here with the closing prayer. Next week, we'll only have one shloka because of Mahashivratri. So I'll do the next shloka, which is number 17, and then we'll be doing Mahashivratri Puja. We'll see if we can set up, can we set up? We can set up Zoom in the main hall also. So you can watch the Mahashivratri Puja also happening. And then we'll be talking about the significance of Mahashivratri to the children. And then we'll do the entire Mahashivratri Puja Jayashri will be doing, so that you can watch on Zoom next week. But we'll start here with half an hour class, and then half an hour we'll do the puja. Actually, it will be 1 hour counting the aarti and all that. So we'll do that next week, Mahashivratri. But have a nice Mahashivratri the night before. If you can spend some time remembering Lord Shiva on the 18th night, that is very auspicious. So please do that. And chant the mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, and offer yourself to Bhagwan. So we'll see you next week. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo. Hari Om. Thank you. Hari Om.